And my message today is fairly simple. I'm going to remind us of who God is, of who you are, who we are in Christ, with this God on our side, with this God who lives in us, his power living in us, and what that means for how we can go out into the world and live our lives as the children of God, as his people, his called ones. And I'm going to use a PowerPoint, hopefully this goes all right this morning, to kind of walk us through this. Already dropping papers. All right, here we go. There we go, all right. So let me propose my first question. Is God invincible? Is God invincible? Well, what does the Bible tell us about who God is? He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's in all places at all times. He is the creator of the universe. He's created you and me. He's created this whole world and everything that is in it. He is the self-proclaimed Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is eternal. He has always been, always is, and always will be. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Trinity Sunday, in which we were reminded of God's character, his essence, that is, it is Trinitarian, that he is Father, Son, and Spirit, three distinct persons, and yet one God, this incredible mystery of who God is, that it is beyond our own human reason, and yet God still makes it so that we can know him, that we can know him by faith, that we can know his love and his mercy and his grace in his Son. And so with all that being said, knowing that this is who God is, that he holds the whole world in his hands, that he's in control of all things, that he's the author of all things, I think it seems pretty safe to say that, yes, God is invincible. But if we take a closer look, we look at Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, and he suffers. He experiences pain. Jesus, he goes to the cross and dies for you and for me. And so, is God invincible? Well, let's look at the definition here. So one definition is bulletproof. Another definition, incapable of being defeated or overcome. And in a sense, I suppose Jesus is not bulletproof, right? Like, if he were to be shot, he could die. He has nails driven through his hands and his feet. The life is sucked out of him. He breathes his last. Jesus does, in fact, die. He is tortured and killed. But that second definition, incapable of being defeated or overcome, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. God is, in fact, invincible. Jesus could not be defeated. He could not be overcome. Sin could not defeat Jesus. The devil could not defeat Jesus. And death could not hold him in the grave. Incapable of being defeated or overcome, Jesus rose from the dead, proving his victory over sin, death, and the devil, and that he is, in fact, the invincible God. And so my goal this morning is that you and I would be more fully encouraged and inspired to follow Christ without fear. And you and I can do this because we have this invincible God on our side. And therefore, you and I are also invincible and can live without fear. Now, granted, we're not physically invincible, right? In the same way that Jesus died, you and I can die. We have police, we have a medical community, a military community, for a reason. The police protect us from criminals. Doctors heal our illnesses, prescribe us medicine, even do surgeries so that we can continue to live. And the military protect us from our enemies, both domestic and foreign. We in this world, we experience natural disasters, hurricanes. You see, you got the Coast Guard helicopter there doing a search and rescue from someone experiencing a hurricane and flooding. We all know about 9/11 and the terrorist attack, and that we're always in danger of our enemies in this world. But even though we're physically vulnerable, that life is fragile, you are spiritually invincible. And this is for two reasons. The first one is that God is on your side. 2 Kings chapter 6. If you've not read this story, go home, open your Bibles, and read 2 Kings chapter 6. It is such a cool story. So you have the prophet Elisha, and he's living in this town called Dothan. And you have the king of Syria, who is at war with Israel. And he knows that Elisha is Israel's prophet. And so he decides he's going to hunt this guy down and kill him. So he finds out that Elisha is dwelling in Dothan. And he sends armies to get this guy. An entire army to surround the city of Dothan. And so Elisha's there. You can see in the picture on the bottom. He's there with this other guy. I don't think he's named. The man of God. And you can see in the bottom here, there's the armies all camped around the city. And this man brings this to Elisha's attention. He's like, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. And Elisha's got this great quote. He says, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And the guy must have been thinking, what are you talking about? Like, again, we're surrounded. There's armies encamped around this city. But then Elisha, he prays to God. He says, "God, open his eyes so that he might see." And he does. He opens the man's eyes. And then he sees the chariots of fire, the angelic host, the angelic army, God's army that is with God's people. And so, you know, in this world, it may not always feel like God's on our side. It may not always look like we're winning. But God is on your side, and those who are with us, with God and his people, are more than those who are with them. Our psalm today that's appointed, Psalm 91, let me read it again. It's just a beautiful text. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." So God is our refuge. He is our strong fortress. He is our protector, and that we hide under his pinions. He is our shield. He doesn't let the pestilence come to get us. He protects us from our enemies. He even sends his angels to defend us and watch over our ways. This God, this invincible God, is on your side. This God, he gives you his armor. From Ephesians chapter 6, we get the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the shield of faith, which extinguishes and blocks the fiery arrows of the devil. And then just to top it off, Romans 8:31 says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" And the obvious answer to that is no one. No one can be against you, for you have God on your side. You have the invincible God who is fighting for you. And if that hasn't convinced you, not only is this invincible God on your side, this invincible God lives inside of you. This top picture is a picture of me. I'm deployed here to Rota, Spain, serving a CV battalion, but it just so happened that there was a Navy ship that was docked there as well, and they were looking for a pastor to baptize their baby. And so this chief of the Navy, he reached out to me, and I was able to meet with the family, talk to them about baptism, and baptize this child. What's the promise that God gives us in baptism? One of my favorites is Romans chapter 6. We were buried... Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And so this baptism that we all receive, it connects us to Christ so intimately that Christ lives in us, that his death now is our death. And more importantly, his life and his resurrection is also our life and resurrection. That's the hope, the comfort, the confidence that you and I have as the baptized people of God. And then just to make it even more explicit, Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, this invincible God, this crucified and risen Christ, lives in each and every one of us. He is invincible. You are invincible. What does this mean? It means you can't die. It means you can't die. Our gospel lesson from Matthew. It's, the Bible, a lot of times, if you read your Bibles, they'll have these headings to kind of summarize the different passages. And sometimes they're not the most helpful. They can not always be the most accurate. But I think these ones are really helpful. Matthew 10, starting at verse 16, the heading there is, persecution will come. Persecution will come. And then if you read a little further and you get to verse 26, the next heading is, have no fear. Persecution will come. Have no fear. God promises, Jesus promises, that there will be persecution. He says that you're going to be delivered over to the authorities. He says brother will deliver brother over to death, that family will turn on one another, that you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, that you'll be persecuted from town to town. But he tells us to not fear, because we have God on our side. Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. This world, your enemies, your persecutors, they can take away your stuff. They can take away your family. They can take away your reputation. They can take away your life. But they can't take away your faith. They can't take away your soul. Because you're invincible. Because you're in Christ. You're incapable of being defeated or overcome. And this is a wonderful gift. This is a wonderful gift that we have as Christians. This here is a picture of me at my field training exercise with my RP. In the Navy, an RP is a religious program specialist. And it's basically an administrative assistant that's assigned to the chaplain to help like set up for worship, to do reports and that sort of thing. But their other role that's important is they're actually your bodyguard, because a chaplain is a non-combatant. So I cannot carry a weapon. And so that person goes with you pretty much wherever you go. And you can see in the picture, we're in our gear, right? I've got my Kevlar helmet, my vest. And why do we do this? Because, again, life is very fragile, right? We need to take every precaution possible to keep ourselves safe. But imagine that you were a super soldier on the battlefield, that you were in fact, bulletproof. Like, how would that change the way you approach the battle? You wouldn't really worry about the armor. You could run freely. You could kind of do things very confidently, knowing that there's very little chance that you're going to be harmed. When you think of like superheroes, you read in a comic book or you watch a superhero movie, those superheroes, they're flying around doing all their things. They're really not that worried about being harmed themselves because they are so invincible. And the one that I thought about that I thought really would be helpful as an illustration is Super Mario. So think about this. If you've ever played this Nintendo game, Mario, when you're walking through the level, you're very cautious. You're timing your jumps from platform to platform. You're making sure that you don't get hit by all the enemies that are running around, the Goombas and the Koopa Troopas and the bullets and the fireballs and all this stuff. And you're cautiously trying to make your way through this level so that you don't die. But when Mario hits that little invincibility star, all bets are off. You just run through the level with reckless abandonment. Nothing that touches you can hurt you. You're running through the enemies and they die the second you touch them, and you can run through the fireballs and the bullets can't hurt you. You're invincible. And so what does that mean? It means that you can live your life with this incredible confidence and boldness and freedom and joy. You can live like the Lutheran reformers of the 16th century. I mentioned earlier that today marks the anniversary of the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, June 25th, 1530, almost 500 years ago. The Lutheran princes came to the Diet of Augsburg, and they presented the Augsburg Confession, our Lutheran Confession, to the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. You can kind of see in this picture the one guy is sort of bowing a little bit, giving his reverence. But I don't know if this picture does it justice. Because you got to understand that these princes were taking a huge risk by doing this. The emperor didn't really like the idea of hearing this confession because his concern was this was going to split apart his empire. It was going to bring disunity to his empire, and you know, leaders don't really like that, right? But if you've ever watched the Luther movie, I think it's Joseph Fiennes is the guy who plays Luther. At this scene, it's a really cool scene where all the Lutheran princes, they come up and they each one by one come up to the emperor and they bow down and they put their head down as if to say, I'd rather you cut my head off, take my life, than I step away from this confession. That's how bold, that's how confident they were, because they knew that they were standing on the truth. They knew that they had Christ on their side. They knew that they had Christ in them. And so they lived with this freedom, this invincibility, kind of like Super Mario with invincibility star. So we know these things. God is with you. God is protecting you. God closes and opens doors. You know, that's one of the gifts that we have as Christians. When our prayers are not answered the way we want them to be, we can put that in God's hands and know that He loves us, that He's with us, and that He is ordering things in our lives for our best interests. People who don't have Christ, who don't have that faith, everything just is kind of by chance or karma or however else they want to explain it. But we have this great comfort of knowing that when doors are closed and open, God is behind it. God promises hate and persecution. And this is, in a sense, I know it sounds kind of odd, but it is a comfort. Because when you experience that hate, when you experience that persecution, you know that you can handle it because Jesus promised it was going to happen. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to complain about it. You can just say, hey, Jesus said this would happen. He's going to give me the strength to endure it, and I can trust God through it. And I ask you, what's going to be your Augsburg moment? What's going to be that moment where you're asked to stand on your faith, to stand on your ground for your confession in God, your confession in Christ, and be willing to put your life on the line, knowing that you do have that invincibility? And finally, we know that God promises forgiveness. In Romans chapter 6, it talks about how we no longer live by the law, but we live under grace, that the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. And so we can go out into this world. We know that we're going to sin. We know that we're going to make mistakes, that we're going to have our doubts, that even though we know sort of cerebrally that we are invincible, we don't always act like it. We don't always live like it. We live in fear. We live according to self-preservation. But it's okay because we come back here and we receive God's forgiveness over and over again, that we have that incredible freedom. So let me give you a couple words of caution. So we are spiritually invincible, but not physically. I still want my RP. I still want my bodyguard. We're not called to test God. So Psalm 91 is that beautiful promise of God's protection and his care for us, being our refuge, sending his angels to guard our steps. But guess who else tries to use this text? The devil, in the tempting Jesus in the wilderness. He tempts Jesus and says, throw yourself off from the top of the temple because God will send his angels to make it so you don't strike your foot against a stone. So we know of God's protection, but we're not going to force it. We're not going to test God. Freedom is also not a license to sin. That's really what Romans chapter 6 is all about. Don't submit yourself to a yoke of slavery. You've been set free from sin, so now live as God's free children. And finally, beware of pride. We do have this invincibility in God, but we only have it because we are in Christ. Jesus says he is the vine and we are the branches. And those branches apart from the vine are dead and they have no life in them. We're only invincible because we are in Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about the two builders. The one builder who builds his house on the sand, the wind and the waves come and that house is knocked down. But the other builder builds his house on the rock, upon Christ and his word. And in that way, we are, in fact, invincible with Christ. So in conclusion, your life is built on the sure foundation of Christ and his word. Christ's death has set you free from sin. Christ's resurrection promises you eternal life. You can't die. You are invincible. You cannot be overcome or defeated. So dear Christian, run the race with all boldness and with all confidence. Follow Christ without fear. Follow him with joy and zeal, for you are baptized into Christ. His death is your death. His life is your life. He is invincible, and therefore so are you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and protect your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.